Have you been following this Oscar Pistorius case out of South Africa? Very, very sad Valentine's Day shooting of his girlfriend. He claims he thought it was an intruder. Others are saying they were fighting ahead of time. He definitely premeditated. In fact, he is charged with premeditation in that death, but he was released on Friday on bail. So what up with that? Every day of the week, it seems like a new twist happens with other charges of other key players in the case. So to kind of sort things out on that and other sports scandals, I've asked Jeff O'Brien to shed some light. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Hi, Rashidi. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. Jeff is an attorney with the law firm of Lohman Abdo in Minneapolis, and his firm represents a lot of athletes and entertainers. First of all, Jeff, just your take on this whole Pistorius thing.
You know, it sounds like this year is just going to be the year of the crazy sports story. You know, Monte Teo wasn't bizarre enough, and now this. I remember hearing about this, driving in on to the office on an early morning, and heard this thing that he had shot me first. That I think it was a case of mistaken identity, self-defense, thought it was an intruder. And as the days have gone by and as the facts have played out, it certainly sounds like there may have been some domestic issues, unfortunately, and, you know, maybe this may have been something related to that. And then we hear that the lead investigator is being accused of attempted murder for something that happened a couple of years ago, so he's been replaced off the case. Now we're hearing that Oscar Pistorius' brother has a potential for another situation. So it seems to get more and more bizarre every day that goes by.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. And very sad because Oscar Pistorius, you know, as you know, gained global fame after running at the Olympics in London in 2012 on his carbon fiber blades. I mean, Just amazing to watch. He was just such a hero to young and old. And this is really sad. But as we've seen in relationships, things can go very wrong. And when you're as famous as an Oscar Pistorius or a Tiger Woods, it plays out in all media.
Exactly.
So let's talk, let's change gears a little bit and talk about this whole NASCAR thing. We have Pat, who's on the phone from Spring Lake Park. Pat, welcome to the show.
Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, NASCAR, when you buy a ticket to a NASCAR race or any other kind of short track or big track race, you're actually signing a medical waiver.
Okay.
Because of the danger of the sport. Now, I believe it's the same way if you go to a baseball game or a hockey game or anything like that.
When you buy the ticket?
Yes.
Okay.
When you buy the ticket, you're actually signing a medical waiver.
But you don't expect to have happen what happened at Daytona yesterday, right?
Well, if you look at that, I used to race myself. And if you look at the cables along that fence are actually what saved the people.
Okay.
Or the car would have been, what it did is it tore up the bottom of the fence. It tore off. But if you look at those thick cables they have there, that's about as safe as it can be for spectators, actually.
Okay. Jeff, what do you think about that from the legal angle, that whole liability? I mean, are you signing your life away you do what Pat had to do?
You know, there are contractual liability limitations when, you know, I'm printed on the backs of tickets and things like that. But, you know, like you said, you're right. I mean, you don't expect to be that's the risk you're assuming. You know, years ago, there was a young lady that was killed at an NHL hockey game because of a stray puck that went into the stands. And she died at the hospital later on from a head injury. And I apologize. I wish I should look it up, but you know, I think there was probably a settlement with the team in that case. So I don't necessarily think that a contractual liability limitation or a waiver on the back printed on the back of a ticket is going to absolve the organization or the racetrack or the team, whatever the sport may be, in this kind of situation.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll ask Pat, as a fan of NASCAR, what do you think, Pat, if now that you saw what happened, does this make you less likely to go, or because you know the dangers, you're still going to support it in that way?
Oh, yeah, I was there when one of the NASCAR trucks hit the fence one year, and that was a worse mess than this one was. But if you go back to the state fair racing we had here and so on, there's been many, many times where tires have left cars and hopped up in the stands and killed people. And it's just, I mean, it's not only NASCAR, it's any kind of auto racing. It's very dangerous, and people have to be aware of what can happen.
Well, I do understand that they did add netting in the NHL because of the death that Jeffrey has mentioned. So it is something. I mean, it's too bad it's only after these tragedies that more prevention steps are taken. Pat, thanks so much for calling. Jeff, you know, this leads itself into talking about just the image of sports, whether it's the athlete like an Oscar Pistorius, who had come off just this almost God worship hero, right, last year, to now NASCAR, as Colin was pointing out earlier. You know, they seem to have weird event after weird event in delay with their big Daytona every year.
Yep. You know, it's, and that's, and by the way, I just was playing on my little iPad here while I was listening. It was Brittany Cecil was the name of the young lady that was killed at the hockey game, and she ended up, the family did get $1.2 million in a settlement with the NHL. So that was settled. There was some kind of court action, and they did receive compensation for that, regardless of any kind of assumption of the risk or any kind of liability stuff on tickets. But you bring up a good point. I mean, you know, whether it be an individual, an organization, you know, they're no different than any other business. They're no different than any other human being. You know, issues, bad stuff happens, triggers legal issues, and it just happens since they're in the spotlight that there is, you know, there's publicity issues that have to be managed and communications issues, and you're no stranger to those.
Right.
But, you know, it's, you have to, the challenge for these organizations and for the athlete is when bad stuff happens, or just in general, trying to, to kind of shape your image or your legacy, you have to, what I call, control the narrative.
Exactly. Control the narrative. What is your advice to your clients when it comes to controlling the narrative?
Well, I'm working with a lot of retired players, and so we're focusing more on, in one vein, what they want to be remembered for, but then also, you know, I'm trying to put, at heart, I do deals, so I'm trying to do maybe a business deal for somebody, and it's the image of what they want, what people think of them about, that it helps us get the deal done, right? So we want to keep that brand high and in demand in order to...
And with integrity. I mean, that's the thing, you know. They're under such public eye when they're playing, but depending on who they are, they also continue to be under the public eye, you know, such as a Michael Jordan, even when they're not in their main career playing.
That's right. And so when I talk to my guys, the things that, there's easy things to do these days in terms of how you control that narrative and how you want to be remembered and how you want to communicate this, you know, if there was an issue that came up, that you want to get your message out there. You know, the beautiful thing these days is social media is available, and with Twitter and Facebook and some of those things, you know, a celebrity or an athlete can get their message out, can get their statement out there quickly, rather than having to, you know, fax out press releases, wait for the press to call, what have you. You can kind of, you know, shape your own story. And I also tell my guys, you know, it's worth having your own, you know, website, having a place where you can gather news articles about your, you know, that's stuff that's being mentioned about you.
Kind of a press gallery.
Exactly. And there's an easy way, and people say, well, how do you, you know, monitor all this stuff? How do you find all this stuff? You know, Google Alerts is a great thing. I set up Google Alerts for my famous clients and keep an eye as to what's going on. And if there's an issue that there's something bad is out there, we talk about, you know, how do we deal with it? Do we do something like a cease and desist, or do we have to take action, or do we flood the internet with good stuff?
Real quick, Jeff, I want your quick take on Danica. She is one of these who almost gets more attention for her image than her actual racing.
Yeah, and, you know, more power to her. I mean, I've been following her. I'm more of the open wheel racing fan than a NASCAR fan, but I've been following her back to those days. And, you know, she's a great marketing mind. She's, you know, she's been doing the GoDaddy ads forever. I think of GoDaddy, you think of her, you know?
You really do. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think she's one of those athletes like a Tiger Woods that kind of transcends the sport. And you bring people to the sport because of that public image, because of the marketing. And so I think it's a benefit not only for her, but it's a benefit to, before it was, you know, Indy, now it's NASCAR that she's involved with. I think she brings a lot of fans with her, because of her public image.
Well, he tweets at Jeff O'Brien. That's O-B-R-I-E-N. Thank you, Attorney Jeff O'Brien, for giving us your take on these crises going on in sports. I'm sure it will be interesting to watch them play out.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, Rasheed.
All right. Thanks. Have a great Sunday. And when we come back after the break,